Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
And that number that Jimmy gave you, 1-877-917-7256, is good 24/7. And if you call me after the 1 o'clock, which is our live program, Monday through Thursday, I will return the call back to you. Welcome to Call to Freedom. May the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Oh, it's so good to have you join us today. And Kimberly's going to be joining us in just a second year or two. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And welcome to Call to Freedom, Kimberly. I hear you're east of where you live. Tell us.
Yes, I did take a little trip to a lake, Grand Lake. It is a very, very large lake in Oklahoma, and some friends of ours offered to let me stay at their cabin. It's really so much more than a cabin. There are 6 beds, 5 bedrooms, and 5 bathrooms.
Oh my goodness.
It is a beautiful place right on the lake. I can walk out and get to the dock, and the birds, the herons and swans and geese and ducks and every kind of bird that you all normally hear from my backyard is also out here. So we just, I'm enjoying the quiet. I needed it. There's a lot of destruction still happening in my home. I wasn't expecting it to still be in the destruction stages. I think we're coming up on 7 weeks here, and I needed to get away from the destruction for a while, and I didn't even mention that out loud to anyone. You know, God just put it on their hearts to offer this place to me, and I felt like that was an invitation from him to me, and I jumped right on it. I said yes.
Good for you. Oh, good for you. It's important to get away with God. And you probably have that home is your dwelling place on this earth. And Matthew can get out into his business world, but you're basically staying there in that destruction. And yeah. I alluded to the money pit when I was talking to you. Said, oh, no, Mom, no.
You did, Mom. That's not going to be me. It's not going to be money pit home. You know, the thing is, God uses all kinds of stories, and it can be chaos and confusion and destruction and loss. You know, we do experience a lot of brokenness in this life and in our world.
Yes.
And he uses that to speak to us. And Matthew and I were talking earlier this morning about how this whole process is not just about updating a house. For us, it's not just a physical thing.
That's right.
We continue, both of us, we continue to pray that God has his way in our hearts and in our minds. And if we have some old thinking and old patterns that we're hanging on to, that he would have full access to rip that out of our brains, out of our hearts, and give us a new heart. Take the heart of stone out. Give us a heart of flesh that follows him and him alone. And so we were talking about that again this morning, realizing that the last bit of destruction that happened was so not on our radar. It's not what we had expected, not what we had budgeted for. And it was necessary. It was something where there was a fire hazard that was in place that we didn't know about, and neither did the contractors when they got started. You know, there are a lot of things that you don't see behind the walls.
That's right.
And in the attic. And when you find it, you just have to fix it.
That reminds me of our spiritual condition, things exactly. hidden in the attic and in the basement that people don't see, and we don't want people to see it. But somehow we need to become transparent and vulnerable in every stage of life. Yes. So I'm happy for you. I'll be glad when it is done. Then I can drive to Broken Arrow and see the finished product, which I probably will be absolutely shocked at seeing. But it's like when Darren and I bought the house that I'm living in, I didn't realize that I was going to have monthly meetings there and weekly Bible studies. I just loved the kitchen and all of that. But we have enough bathrooms to accommodate the people and a large room for the gathering. So Kimberly, your house is going to be a house of wonderful fellowship when it's done, when it's all done.
I want to put a big sign on the front, the dwelling place.
Oh,
dwell.
See?
That's
dwell.
My last name.
Yes.
Dwell.
I know.
The dwelling place.
The
yes.
Dwelling
so
place. Oh, that's beautiful.
I actually already created that and purchased the sign online. I've had it for a couple of years and I just haven't put it up yet, but I think the time is coming. It'll be soon.
That's right. Oh, like the New Testament church. They met in homes.
Yes.
So, good for you. Wow. Well, you've got a wonderful lesson here today. I've been reading over the notes and it's deep. It's very serious, but we need that. I was just listening to the song right before our program, I Surrender All.
Yes,
and I thought, were you? Oh, and the wonderful deep basses. Oh, I love that.
Yes.
But I was thinking, how many times have we sung that song and we really haven't meant it? We haven't really surrendered all until God gets in.
Well, you know me, I'm the one that's full of grace, and we do mean it as far as we can go, as far as we understand.
Yes.
We continue to sing it, and we mean it, but it takes on deeper meaning and greater meaning as we mature and as we age.
Yes.
And then we figure out there's another area right here that maybe I haven't surrendered completely. Behind that wall, in the attic, in the basement, you know? And so letting that destruction go on so that reconstruction can happen. And I love, Papa used to say it, Darren was the one who would say, God is in the restoration business. I love that we're doing a restoration project to our home right now. And we can see the obstacles that come up. We can see the hidden things that needed to come to light.
Yes.
You're right. It's a very spiritual story. I heard somebody say in this last week that just eating a meal is a very spiritual activity.
Yes.
And there are so many things that we take for granted now in this physical world, our homes, our jobs, our meals that we have with one another. And we just think of it all as being a very physical thing and it's separate from the spiritual world, but it's not.
It's right.
All connected with a very big purpose. And the author who wrote it all, he has given each one of us an individual storyline that sometimes is chaotic and confusing, and it's got some broken places in it. Yet every story is so important. It's so vital to the whole big story. And I think it was last week that I may have mentioned I had been reading some C.S. Lewis, and he was talking about the idea of Hamlet meeting Shakespeare, of a character getting to meet the author, you know, a character of a story. And that's exactly what God has given us the opportunity to do. We are the characters in a huge story, but he has given us the free will opportunity to be face to face with him, to meet him, and to interact with him. And hopefully we're not trying to do that in a way where we're stubborn, we're trying to be controlling and take over, being manipulative. Those things happen really often to us. Mm-hmm. We try that. Those are the stages that he expects us to go through.
Yes.
God actually expects that we're going to go through those seasons of being controlling and manipulative and throwing fits, you know, yeah. being full of rage, anger, irritation, frustration with him even. And he knew that we would go through that, and it's all part of the big plan, the big story that we all have a role in.
Yes.
Our part, for me, and what I really believe according to the Word of God, is so, it's the highest goal. The highest goal is to have gratitude for our journey. And maybe that gratitude doesn't come when you're right in the middle of something that's so heavy and so hard. But it really was Jesus despising the shame of the cross for the joy set before him. And that's what we want. We want to stay focused on the joy of the big story that the most perfect author has written, so that we can participate in it and say, I know you're going to work this out, and it's going to be good. It's going to be better than good, because you're God. And so your best is better than any best I could imagine.
Amen. That's right. Oh, that's right. We have, Kimberly, even in your short, I say short life because you're young to me, but even in your life, it's happened that you had goals, you had dreams, and yet you're seeing something far better than what you could have ever dreamed or your goals that you had for this earth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's true. And so much of that came because I experienced loss again mm-hmm. and again
yes.
and again.
Yes.
And Father God just stayed right with me, holding me through every loss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to be so transparent and say that it's not like I've come to this place where I've got it all together and everything just came back to me. Now I have the home, that I've got the marriage, the family, the kids, and we all have these perfect relationships, because it doesn't look like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet. My hope is that it will get there one day. And yet I am just keeping that heart of gratitude, believing that the joy that's in front of me, the joy of accomplishing this huge story with the author of the universe, you know, he is such a great author, mm-hmm. writing stories that are so far out of our realm. I never would have thought to have written in, okay, my family's going to rebel against me this year, and they will call me borderline personality disorder and put it out on social media so that everybody reads it and hears about it. And I never would have written that into my story.
That's right.
But here I am, walking that out, living that out. And really, what it comes down to is how we respond to the brokenness, to the chaos, the confusion.
Yes.
When we're and you know how we respond also to the victories and the things that we win in this life, the
yes.
things we gain.
Amen.
We need to respond with humility and not say that we've gained it by any of our own strength. Those are gifts from God himself. Give him glory. Give glory where glory is due.
Yes. I know that Paul wrote in Philippians 3, verse 10, and it's a beautiful verse, and most of us know it, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, yeah, power, authority. And then he goes into, and the fellowship of his sufferings? I don't think so. I don't think so. Suffering? Yes, suffering, Kimberly, exactly what you're talking about, being conformed to his death, not his resurrection, his death. Oh,
right.
My goodness. Wow.
You know, I'm glad. Thank you so much for that, for interjecting that scripture. That's perfect for this next thought, that if it weren't for the suffering and the whole big story, we've got to keep this in mind, is that we are being made into the perfect partner for God Almighty.
Yes.
That's the big story.
That's right.
And we're never really going to look at it and sit with it long enough to truly let it soak in if we just stay busy in our perfect little world, you know, in what seems like perfect to us. I'm thankful for the losses and for the suffering that I have had. When my own family turned against me, I realized Jesus experienced that. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what he experienced. His brothers were not on his side when he had his ministry going, you know, and they came to try to stop him at one point. Mm-hmm. So when you realize that Jesus has gone through every kind of suffering that we could imagine, it says that he, and really he went through more than any human being ever.
That's right. He was at all points tempted as we are. So there's nothing we've gone through that he hasn't been tempted to go through.
Yes. And then marred. Beaten so badly and marred so badly that he didn't even look like a human being anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he was still walking except for the grace of God.
That's right.
And he walked. He walked with the cross in that state. You know, so when we think of suffering, that is true suffering. To go through the losses that we go through, when we keep the big picture in mind, I want to be the kind of friend that Jesus can talk to and say, wow, yeah, that was a rough one, wasn't it? And we can say together, yes, that really was. You know, realizing that the days that I weep and that I grieve, I'm not doing that alone. Mm-hmm. He is with me.
Yes.
So that is the blessed, beautiful story of it. And Hebrews 11 verses 33 through 40 give us a glimpse into some really, I put the word unpalatable, unpalatable storylines, you know, just storylines you don't really want to be a part of. And I just want to read some of this. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 33, through faith's power, they conquered kingdoms and established true justice. Their faith fastened onto their promises and pulled them into reality.
Wow.
It was faith that shut the mouth of lions, that put out the power of raging fire, and caused many to escape certain death by the sword. Although weak, their faith imparted power to make them strong. Faith sparked courage within them, and they became mighty warriors in battle, pulling armies from another realm into battle array.
Oh, praise God.
Faith-filled women saw their dead children raised in resurrection power. Yet it was faith that enabled others to endure great atrocities. They were stretched out on the wheel and tortured and didn't deny their faith in order to be freed, because they longed for a more honorable and glorious resurrection. Mm. The way that I see that is they longed for the big storyline, not just their own little storyline.
Yes.
The big story.
Yes.
Yeah. Others were mocked and experienced the most severe beating with whips. They were in chains and imprisoned. Some of these faith champions were brutally killed by stoning, being sawn in two or slaughtered by the sword. These lived in faith as they went about wearing goatskins and sheepskins for clothing. They lost everything they possessed. They endured great afflictions, and they were cruelly mistreated. They wandered the earth, living in the desert wilderness, in caves, on barren mountains, and in holes in the earth. Truly, the world was not even worthy of them, not realizing who they were. These were the true heroes, commended for their faith. Yet they lived in hope without receiving the fullness of what was promised them.
Yes.
But now God has invited us to live in something better than what they had. Mm. Faith's fullness.
Hallelujah.
This is so that they could be brought to finished perfection alongside of us.
It's so good.
Yeah. Mm. Faith's fullness. We're being invited into faith's fullness. Faith's fullness. I was saying that earlier today and realizing God's faithfulness. He is so full of faith. He knows his story is going to work. And after all, it will. He's God. Yeah, he will have his way.
Yes.
So we don't have to worry about the little things in our storyline. Mm-hmm. It's going to work whether it needs restoration. God is in the restoration business. Mm-hmm. Or it may need redemption. That's good. That's good too. I know my Redeemer lives. He is our Redeemer. So redemption is very possible. Resurrection? Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And we don't have to be afraid of even death, because resurrection is available to us.
Yes. Mordecai said to Esther when she was waving back and forth a little bit about going to the king, he said, if you don't do this, Esther, your people will perish. But if you do this, this is the time. This is the time that God has put you on this earth for this time, for such a time as this. And she realized that her uncle was right about it, and she went to the king. So sometimes we need some encouragement from others. You know, you're here for this purpose. You're here for such a time as this, my friend. Yeah.
Yes. And I think that's hard when we are feeling uncomfortable. We're feeling the pain of brokenness. We're feeling the grief of loss. It's really hard. Discomfort makes it hard. It squeezes us in. You know, as human beings, we feel squeezed. And when we're squeezed, that's when we find out what really comes out of us. When we're squeezed, we can end up really complaining and grumbling. Or if we have truly continued to wash ourselves in the water of the Word on a daily basis. Wow, I don't know about you, but I was listening a little bit to the program right before us here, mm-hmm. and he was talking about the seven wonders of the Word. I love that, because it's one wonder after another when you stay in the Word, and the way that the Word is alive and active. Reading our Bible every day, it renews us.
Yes.
It transforms us. We're not just reading it for information. We read it to be transformed.
That's
it's
right.
Transformation.
Yes. Oh, praise God.
And, that's a beautiful thing, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That is what we really need. We do get uncomfortable at times, and when we do, that discomfort can cause us to be grumblers, complainers, and argue with God. We can be really angry with Him, and we'll lose sight of His plan. But His plan and His plot is so great for our story and for this whole big story, that realigning ourselves by getting in the Word, by exposing ourselves to church. Once again, I know churches have let us down in the past, but we can be, again, renewed, restored, and those churches can be restored to Him as well. It all leads us into faith's fullness.
Faithfulness.
Having the kind of faith that God has. Faithful, full of faith, faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
That's
praise
what
God.
We want.
Yes, yeah. We do. Yes. Oh, praise God.
I do think it's kind of funny to think about a character in a book getting a chance to meet the author, because we get a chance to be face to face with God. And all because of His love and His mercy, what He did for us in sending us His only Son, Jesus, mm-hmm. so that He would pay that price, pay the price for sin that has happened, pay the price so that we would have free access to God Himself. Now we can be face to face. And, you know, we might not like the story that we're in, but what about the big story?
Mm-hmm.
The face-to-face kind of eternal story that makes us best friend and perfect partner to the God of the universe who created everything.
Oh, praise God.
Yes. That's worth wrapping our mind. Well, and I don't know that I can even say we would ever be able to wrap our mind around it. But having faith for it, yeah, that's a better story than the small stories that we get so irritated with and angry with and so grieved that we don't know how to come back. We can come back to the one who made us for Himself and see what he's got in store for us.
Yes. And that's why the author of Hebrews goes right from the 11th chapter with all, as you were saying, atrocities that happened to these precious people in the New Testament church, and goes right into 12, verse 1. And we have so great a cloud of witnesses, those people that have gone before us. We can find strength in that, Kimberly. We really can.
That's right.
Those people that have gone before, that have, some of them have sacrificed their lives for us. And see that we are fixing our eyes not on them, but on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That
yes.
faith's fullness that you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah. If you don't mind, I think that's a perfect place to also quote the scripture from Revelation, because it is when we are so focused on the big story that we don't love our own little storyline so much that we'll interrupt the big story, that we'll complain or grumble or try to control or manipulate, but we will trust the one who is able. He's more than able. We're persuaded.
Yes.
Yeah. Revelation.
Yes. And they overcame the enemy, him, by the word, the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they didn't value their lives even to the death. Oh, that's so important.
Yes. Oh, it's hard to do.
It's very difficult, because you're familiar with this body that you're living in, and you don't want anything to happen to it.
Right.
It's
well, when we remember the kind of faith our Father has, He is looking forward to revealing His great storyline to 8 billion people. Mm. That's not including all the people who've gone before us. And He's
That's right.
believing that we're all going to align with His faith.
Yes.
Oh, how glorious it will be for us to hear Him say, for us to say to Him, I'm all in. Let's do it your way, God. Let's do it your way, Abba, Father.
That's
and
right.
Let Him be the author and just agree with Him and join Him in that storyline.
Yes. Oh, praise God. Thank you so much for this valuable lesson we need in our lives, to be able and willing to go through the wilderness as well as the high places with God. God bless you, Kimberly. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. And we say to all of you out there, take joy.
Joy.
To Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado 80237, or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom Ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.